for us to be with you here. And 2 weeks ago, we were still in Hong Kong, and a lot has happened since. We came back and arrived back here Friday night, June the 7th, and we sort of got situated on Saturday, that following Saturday, getting a car and getting our cell phone going. And then we visited First Baptist Church in Walnut Creek all day on Sunday. And then on Monday morning at 4 o'clock, we headed up to Washington to be with our daughter and her family of seven. And we have been up there for our vacation for the last 12 days or so. And then we came back down here today. Spent the night in Camas, Washington last night with my sister, and then drove down 7 hours today down here. And I'm amazed. I feel pretty good, and I think it must be because you guys are praying for us. And thank you for that, and it's great to be with you. We will be delighted to talk to you about Hong Kong all you want, and I understand that we'll be sharing meals with different families during our time together. And so we can talk about Hong Kong then and answer all your questions. But the Lord has led me to choose a topic these four times I'm going to speak to you. And this topic is called The Calls of God. And what I'm finding is each time I come back, fewer and fewer people in our churches really know us, because we're gone for so long, and new people come into the church, and a lot of people in our churches don't know us. And so what I'm going to be sharing with you for the most part during these four times I'm speaking is my testimony about how four times in my life God, in a very special, specific way, spoke to me, not so much in a audible voice, but spoke to my heart, and led me in crucial decisions that I made in my life. And we're going to talk about these four calls of God. And I not only share this so that you can get to know Peggy and me better, because I'll be talking about Peggy's testimony too, but also I'm hoping as I go through these four calls of God that you will be able to identify with these calls in your own life, and that your heart will be touched as well. And that is really my main concern in sharing these things. You may be wondering how a boy who grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, a Giants fan, and still am, even though I've lived in the East Bay, I've always been a Giants fan. And I'm not against the A's. I root for them too, but I'm a Giants fan more. How a guy like me, growing up in the Bay Area, could end up in Hong Kong and spend more than half my life there with people who are totally different from me, I've had to learn their language and all these different things. And how this happened. And so I'm going to share that with you in these four times. Now, the first call I'm going to talk about tonight is the call to salvation. The call to salvation. And this call is mentioned in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. And here we have God the Father being described. And it says, "For he, God the Father, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, this verse tells us that you know, we did not come to God, really, but it was God who rescued us. Now, we may think we came to God on our own, that we believed in Christ on our own, but actually, it was God in His mighty power who chose us, and then in the fullness of our time, when it was the right time for each one of us, He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And through that experience, we are redeemed from our sins and we are forgiven of our sins. That is what we are talking about here, the call to salvation, where God rescues us by His grace. This call is also described in a very famous passage in Romans chapter 8. And you'll recall in verse 28, there are several things that are mentioned here, and the calling of God is one of those. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the likeness of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified." And so it is God who calls us to salvation. And when He calls us through what we commonly call in theological terms the effective or effectual call, then we respond in repentance and faith to this calling of God. And that is what I experienced when I was 9 years old, when I went to a Sunday school class in Hayward, California, at Fairway Park Baptist Church. That is the call that I experienced. Now, there was a lot of things going against me becoming a Christian and receiving the call of salvation. I grew up in a home where my parents were nominal Christians. They would tell you that they were Christians. But the first 7 years of my life, I remember going to church only two times. Never went to Sunday school. And my parents, what had happened is they met in church in Oakland, at a church in Oakland. And my father had just been baptized, and soon after he was baptized, he and mom got married. And as soon as they got married, the pastor that they loved left the church, and my parents sort of drifted. And my dad got busy at work, and so our family, you know, just ceased going to church. My parents stopped going to church. I came along 6 years later. I was the first in our family, the oldest son. I had two sisters later. But we did not, you know, go to church, even though we called our, you know, my parents would say, we're a Christian family. And so I grew up in this atmosphere. And when it was right at the beginning of the age of television, back then, some of you people who are my age or older remember, we didn't have color sets yet. We had these black and white sets. And what did we watch on TV in those 1950s? I watched cowboy movies. I watched Zorro. But my favorite thing was Davy Crockett, Fess Parker playing Davy Crockett. And that is what I remember. Now, today, young people watch all kinds of things, Transformers and superheroes and all these different things. We watched some of that, too. But most of the time on TV, it was cowboy shows. And back in those days, things were pretty black and white, weren't they? Those of us you can remember. There was the good guys who wore the white hats, and there were the bad guys who wore the black hats. And it was all very clear who was a good guy, who was a bad guy. And I grew up, I didn't identify with the bad guys, you know, they were awful. I didn't like them. I only liked the good guys. I liked Wyatt Earp. I liked the Lone Ranger and Tonto. I always liked the way the Lone Ranger, when he would, you know, beat up the bad guy. You know, there'd always be a fight at the end. He'd beat up the bad guy, and the person who had been oppressed by the bad guy would want to say thank you to the Lone Ranger. But he had already ridden off to do the next thing. And that's the way I liked it, you know. I thought that I would be like the Lone Ranger. I thought that I would be the good guy. And so this sort of went against the idea of what the Bible teaches, that all people are sinners. In the early years of my life, I had no consciousness that I was a sinner. Now, I knew I did wrong things. I knew occasionally I would get in trouble and get a spanking for something. But I thought of myself as a good guy. I didn't, you know, really need any religion because I was already good. And that's the way I was going to be. The thing that changed the direction of my life was not my parents, really, because they were going in the direction they were going. But what changed everything was a visit from my grandmother. My parents lived in the Bay Area. My grandmother lived in Arkansas, El Dorado, Arkansas. South Central Arkansas. Back in those days, she used to come out on the bus, Peerless bus. Took 4 days, day and night traveling. And then we'd go meet her at the bus station, and she'd get off the bus, and she'd stay with us for 2 months. My grandmother, Rosa Nichols, was a devoted Christian. And she lived in our home. And she didn't say much, but she watched what was going on in our home. I was 7 years old at the time. And one day, my grandmother talked to my mother, her mother. And she said, Doris, I totally don't want to interfere in what you and Ron are doing. You're adults. You do what you want to do. But I just want to say one thing in love. I think it's a crime that your children aren't going to Sunday school. You know, my mom, I think she wanted to go to church, but Dad had sort of cooled. My dad always was sort of bristly about church, and he thought a lot of the people were high and mighty, and he didn't like that. He had some habits that where it made him sort of uncomfortable around Christians. And he also had trouble relating to some of the pastors we had. In fact, most of the pastors we had, he didn't like them. He thought that they were sort of high and mighty, and it really didn't identify with them. And so, but my mom, you know, she, I think, really knew the Lord, and she knew this was wrong, the way she was living, but she didn't know what to do. She was married to her husband. But because of what my grandmother did, and you grandmothers take heart, you know, you may be in a position like this too. My mother went to my dad and said, you know, can I take the children to Sunday school, at least on Sunday morning? And my dad, he said, well, that's fine with me. That's no problem. I'll even take them myself. And I remember my dad did take us to Sunday school, drop us off. And that was a big point in my life and in the life of my sisters. Because we started to study the Bible, hear the Bible stories. I had a good memory, and so I memorized verses very well. I was diligent. I did my Sunday school lesson every week. And I worked really hard to begin to learn the Word of God. We had daily vacation Bible school. I went to that for 2 weeks. I memorized not only the assigned verses, but I memorized all the scripture reading. And I had all these stars on my crown, I remember. And I really enjoyed that. But you know, even though I was going to church, Mother started to go to church then at that point, and I went with her. I slept through the sermon usually, but I enjoyed being in church. And I still didn't see it. I still didn't understand. Because I still had that good guy mentality. I was going to be like Zorro. I was going to be like Davy Crockett. I was going to do what is right. And I really didn't need God's help to do that, in my opinion. And that is the mentality that I had. I wasn't a bad boy because I feared doing things wrong because my parents were very strict and I got a licking when I did wrong. And I grew up like that. But as I was growing up, I really didn't think I needed God to help me. I didn't really need Jesus to help me. The Sunday school teacher every week would share the gospel with us, and he would say, you know, we are all sinners. And as he said that, I said, yes, I look around me, these other guys in the room, they're sinners. I know they goof around all the time, they don't take things seriously. But I really didn't think that I was a sinner. I really didn't think that I needed Jesus because I was already better than others. And I thought because I was better than others that I would be okay, that I would go to heaven because I was good enough. And for 2 years, I went to Sunday school. And I sort of sat there. I took it all in. I loved the Bible stories. I loved to memorize verses. I loved all these things. But what I became, what I was becoming, was like a Pharisee. And that's exactly what I was. You know, I wanted to think of myself as a Lone Ranger, but actually, I was a Pharisee who thought that just by being good that God would be pleased with me. That I didn't need any help from him. And that's the way it was for 2 years. But one day, when I was 9 years old, I sat in Sunday school class. And that is the time that God rescued me. That is the time that God rescued me from darkness. And you know how he did that? You know, there are two kinds of people. There are people who get caught up in all these terrible sins like drugs and all these awful things. And we call that kind of person a down and outer. But I was not a down and outer at all. I was an up and outer because I didn't think I needed anything. I was just fine. But one Sunday, my Sunday school teacher shared a verse that I had not heard of before. And this is a verse that God used to totally humble me. to cause me to see that I needed Jesus to be my Savior. And that verse was Isaiah 64 and verse 6. For we as are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses to God are as filthy rags. That is the verse that the Lord used to humble me. Because I saw it right there. It said that our righteousnesses, the good things that we do to God, are like filthy rags. And when I saw that, at that moment, I thought, all these Bible verses that I had memorized, suddenly, kaboom, they began to make sense to me. And then I understood at that moment that I needed Christ to be my Savior. I needed the sacrifice of sin that I had already known about. I'd learned verses about that, but I didn't think I really needed it. But then I knew and I understood that I did need that sacrifice for my sin, because I needed to be forgiven too. Far worse than the down and out type person, because as an up and outer, I knew that I, because of my pride, because I thought I was so good, that I needed Jesus more than anybody. And when that verse took hold in my life, and I understood that even the good things that I did displeased God, that is when I said, I need this. I need this salvation. Sunday school was over that day, and all the other kids left, but I remained. And my fifth grade Sunday school teacher, Mr. Norman Brunton, led me to Jesus Christ that morning. We were late getting to church, but he wanted to make sure that I understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. About 25 years later, I found out that Mr. Brunton was still alive, and somehow I was able to contact him, and I got his phone number, and I called him, and I thanked him. I was a missionary on furlough, and I called him and thanked him for leading me to Jesus Christ very patiently. You know, tonight we have the call of salvation. And I know most of you here have already experienced that. Some of you many years ago, some of you maybe more recently. Maybe there's some here who haven't experienced that call yet. And maybe you were like me. Maybe you thought, well, I can handle things myself. I don't really need any help. And I know there's a lot of people up here in this neck of the woods who feel that way. You know, we're self-made men, self-made women. We can handle it. But there's really one thing that we cannot handle when we think about it, and that is the problem of sin. You know, there are people who are overwhelmed with sin issues. It's very, very obvious. They're doing drugs. They're doing alcohol, doing many things they shouldn't be doing. And then there are those of us who live good lives, and we think we don't need it. But actually, we do. We need it even more than the people in the gutter. It's our pride. You know, Jesus had more negative things to say about the scribes and Pharisees. He had more negative things to say and more trouble getting along with the so-called good people of his age than the down-and-out people, the publicans and sinners. He related to them much more easily than he related to the proud people. I don't know what category you would place yourself, but you need to think about the fact that someday each one of us must appear before a holy God, a God who must punish sin. And you may think you are pretty good. Oh, yeah, you tell a white lie out of convenience every once in a while, or maybe you do this little thing or that little thing, and maybe sometimes, you know, and remember, it's not just the things we do that are sin, but the thought life as well. And maybe you can control your actions, but the thought life, when you think about it, how many times have we failed there? And some people may think, well, I'm pretty good. I may commit maybe, when you think about, you know, actions and thought life and attitude, maybe I sin maybe, you know, one or two times a day maybe. But I do the right thing and I'm a pretty good person. But you think about it. If you do something wrong, maybe 2-3 times a day, you multiply that by 365 days a year. That's over 1,000 sins, isn't it? Let's say you live 70, 80 years, like most of us do now. And you come to God and say, oh, God, I lived a pretty good life. I only sinned maybe 70, 80,000 times. How is that going to stand up? You see, really, when it comes right down to it, every one of us here needs Jesus. And my prayer for you this evening, if you haven't understood that yet, that tonight you will understand that. Feel free to come and talk to me. For, you know, ladies, if you want to go talk to Peggy or Pastor Jay or Julie or someone, feel free to talk to someone. And we could talk about this tonight, because we all need him, both the up and outers and the down and outers. We all need Jesus when it comes right down to it. That's the call of salvation. And if you feel God tugging on your heart and saying, yes, you do need me, come to me, put your faith in me, then you're experiencing that call. And if you haven't experienced it yet, I hope that tonight will be the night for you to sense God calling you and rescuing you out of darkness into his marvelous light, into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's my prayer for you tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to talk about the second call. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. I'll tell you tomorrow morning. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for each person here tonight. And you know each heart here. And I just pray, whether person be a man, a woman, boy or girl, young person, I pray that each person here, if they have not heard that call of salvation yet and experienced salvation in their own life, that they will hear that call tonight and put their complete faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, you're a God who loves us all, that you're patient, And I thank you for being patient with me, because for several years there, Lord, I refused to hear that call. I said I didn't need him. I didn't need Jesus. But you were patient with me. And I pray that you would be patient with others. And I pray that even tonight, if it would be your will, that some would hear that call even tonight. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.